Good afternoon, INS Law. You're speaking with Aaron. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. Hi, Aaron. You called me a moment or two ago.
Hi, yeah, is it Jean that I'm speaking to?
Yes,
Hi, Jean, yeah. Thank you for giving us a call back. Yeah, it's just in regards to the inquiry that you've just made in regards to the Scottish Redress Scheme. Okay, is now a convenient time to talk for yourself?
Yeah, that would be okay.
Yep, okay. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through your inquiry and the application process with you. Okay, so I'm just going to start off by just gathering some generic details for data protection. Okay, so how am I best titling you, Jean? Is it Miss, Mrs. or
Missy,
MS?
Missy.
Mrs. Okay, and I've got your first name here as Jean and your surname. Could you say your surname for me, please?
It's Patellaris. It's Jean Isabel
Jean
Patellaris.
Isabel.
Patellaris. Isabel Patellaris. Patellaros.
Perfect, okay. And is it Isabel with one L or a double L E?
One L is Isobel.
Yeah, no, perfect. I've got a niece called Isabel, and it's always the
All
way.
right. I know.
When she was born, it
Yeah.
was how we spelling it? Is it one L or two L's
Yeah.
and an E?
Well, my granddaughter, she's Isabella.
Ah, yeah, okay. Okay, Jean, and I've got your email address here as J, and then your surname at hotmail.co.uk.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please, Jean?
11/4/59.
Perfect. Okay. And your home address, please?
It's 5 Livingston with an E, Livingston Way.
And is that in Clackaman?
Clackmannan, yeah.
Clackmannan, sorry. Perfect. I've got that one here.
I mean, I don't know what this is all about, but it's flashed up on my phone quite a few times, and I thought, well, yeah, I mean, I do fall into that category, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'll explain that all to you, but just before, obviously, we do proceed, the Scottish Redress Scheme is basically for obviously citizens of Scotland who have been placed into the care system and had wrongdoing done to them, or experienced some wrongdoing, whether that be by neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual
Yeah.
abuse.
Right, okay.
Okay, and is that applicable to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I dare say emotional. Don't think I had physical or sexual abuse in the
Yeah.
home, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'll do is I can dive through your care settings with you shortly, and I'll be able to assess whether we're we can help you and whether you're applicable to the scheme itself. Okay, Jean. And so, when it comes to the communication preferences with yourself, are we okay to send you emails and texts as well as phone you?
Yeah, that should be okay, yeah.
Perfect, thank you. Our main point of call is always a phone call. We'll only ever send you an email or an SMS when it comes to notifying you of anything, really. Okay, and is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of, Jean?
No.
No, okay. And was you known by any other names during your time in care?
Say that again.
Was you known by any other names during your time in care?
I would have been so it would have been Jean Gibson.
Okay, and has that name been changed by marriage at all?
Yes.
Yep, okay. And do you know the address that you lived in prior to being placed into care?
It was Lime Street in Alloa.
It Lime Tree Walk at all?
Possibly, Possibly, yeah. Lime Street, Alloa, it's all changed now. The buildings have been knocked down, but what did you say? Lime Tree Walk?
Yeah, it's come up with Lime Tree Walk in Alloa.
Well, that would be it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's probably, yeah, as you said, the new name of it, since it's all been probably flattened and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay, what I'll do for now is I'll just put Alloa, because it's more so the area that we need,
mm-hmm.
so we can...
But that's where we were, and then the home was, it was called the Martha Frew Home in Dunfermline, in a place called Crossford, Dunfermline.
Okay, no worries. I'll have a little search of that in a second,
yeah,
for you. Am I able to get the name of your GP that you registered at, please?
It's Clackmannan Health Centre.
On Main Street?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, perfect, thank you. And am I able to get the names of your mother and father, if they're known, please?
They've both passed.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So we don't, nobody contacts them in any way. This is just more so when we're obtaining records on your behalf.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my father was Alexander Martin Gibson.
You said Martin Gibson, yeah?
Yeah, Alexander Martin Gibson.
Yep, I've got that.
And my mother was Elizabeth Rafferty. But that's her maiden name. I mean, they did get married, but that's her maiden name.
Okay, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Okay, and have you applied for any advance payments to the Scottish Redress Scheme at all?
No.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Okay, Jean, thank you very much for them details in order to pass data protection in the future. I do just want to say that I appreciate discussion experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting,
mm-hmm.
But please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call.
Right, okay.
Okay, and just to inform you that... Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, you asked for my doctor's address, but... I don't know that there'll be anything down there.
Yeah, but okay. The only reason why we ask for your doctors and whatnot, only because we do obtain medical records on your behalf, but the only reason why we do obtain medical records is so we can use anything that is sufficient for evidence towards
your
case.
Okay. Yeah.
For example, if you've gone to your doctors for an appointment over... for example, how you're feeling in terms
uh-huh.
of maybe like
depression
because of your time and care.
Yeah.
That's just evidence that we can use, that's all.
Yeah.
Anything else we don't use or look at.
Okay.
So just want to inform you as well, Dean, that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No, I don't have.
No, okay, that's absolutely fine. Okay, Jean, so the purpose of today's call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and explain your options around the scheme. I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf, and I'll also discuss the funding and fees and gather initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you. Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. But the three options that are applicable to yourself, Jean, is option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with your application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, you will be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. At this stage, Gina, I do just need to clarify, do you have any other representation in regards to your application for the redress scheme?
Do I have what?
Do you have any other representation for your application for the scheme?
No.
Perfect, okay. Okay, Gina, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means for yourself is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either.
Okay.
If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. So you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%. So that's less than 20% for you.
But that comes from any award, if there's any.
Yeah.
So it's not coming out of my pocket. I'm not going to have to pay you.
No, not at all. We don't ask for any bank details now. We don't take any upfront payment, anything like that.
Okay.
So it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award
scheme may award you.
Yeah,
sure.
But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call for you. Okay, so Jean, if you do decide to instruct us, what we can assist with is whether you're eligible to apply to the redress scheme. We'll gather and review all evidence over the phone today in regards to taking statements from you to then prepare and submit the application to the redress scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf. We have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll always advise you on any offers that are made throughout this application. And we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered.
Right. Okay.
We'll also assist with any assistance that is required with reconsideration or a review of the process within the scheme. Okay, so what the statutory waiver is that I've just briefly mentioned, Jean, is that if a redress offer is made, we will fully explain that waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters.
Future what?
Future civil claims.
Okay.
So if you wanted to hold any individuals to account, then obviously, this is what the scheme's dealing with for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so is everything understood that I've said so far, Jean?
Yeah.
Perfect, okay. You also do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. Okay, so
how long does this process normally take?
So it does take around about 10 plus months. The Scottish Redress Scheme, they have sent us an email about a week or two ago just to advise that they do have a backlog at the minute. So they are recruiting more panel members in order to reduce that backlog. But yeah, it's around about 10 plus months.
Okay.
So if that was the case, Jean, in terms of obviously your cancellation rights, would you still like us to proceed work on your case immediately? Hello, Jean, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hiya, sorry. Would you like us to start work on your case immediately whilst the cancellation rights are in place?
Yeah, may as well.
Of course, perfect. Okay, we'll also need to verify who you are, Jane, for verification purposes, but also anti-money laundering regulations. So we will need a copy of photo ID and proof of address dated within the last 3 months. So you can send that to us via email, or if you use WhatsApp, we can WhatsApp you.
You can
WhatsApp us with the attached images, and I can upload them to your filing.
So would that be driving license?
Yep, so it can be a driver's license, passport or birth certificate alongside a proof of address from a utility bill, phone bill, bank statement, anything like that that you want to provide that's got your address, and it's got a date on it within the last 3 months.
Right, okay.
I can send you out an email with the documents that we approve if that's accessible to yourself.
Right.
Okay, Jean. So what I'll do, if it's okay with you, I can go through your care settings with you now, if that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so can you name me the first care setting that you was placed in, please?
It was Martha Frew Home. That's all I know it as, Martha Frew Home in Crossford in Dunfermline.
And that's Martha, like the name Martha.
I think so, Martha Frew. Yeah, that's what we knew it as, Martha Frew Home. Crossford, Dunfermline.
Yep, okay, bear with me. I'm just going to do a little bit of a search. Yep, I've got that here.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, Martha Frew.
It's actually a hotel now.
Is it, yeah?
It's called Keeble House Hotel, yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay, and what year was you placed at Martha Frew?
So I was probably 4. So that would be, this is 26, so that would be...
So what, 1963?
59. No, no. I was born in 62, 63.
Okay.
Oh, the year you mean, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, my apologies. It's probably the Scouse accent.
Okay.
Okay, and how long was you placed at Martha Frew?
That I'm not really sure, as a child, because we then moved into foster care.
Yeah.
Which turned into long-term foster care.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll just keep it at 1963 for now. And obviously, once we get your care records, we can change any dates required.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you moved into foster care that you just briefly mentioned, is there any sort of abuse that you endured during your time there?
Well, there are quite a few things that had happened. And now, on hindsight, you realise that shouldn't have been. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll make another kind of like tab for foster care.
Both of those foster carers that have died, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So was you in two different foster cares then?
Well, no, it was the man and the woman. It was a couple.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about
both them died, yeah. They were elderly.
Yeah. Okay, and whereabouts was that foster care?
So we went, the first house that they lived in where we moved to was a cottage in a place called Ballado. It was a tied cottage to the house where the man worked.
Yeah.
That was in Ballado near Kinross.
Okay, and then can you remember when you potentially was in foster care?
Well, I can't really exactly remember the date, to be honest, when we went there. But we did have a social worker called Mrs. Kennedy, and she took us there. I'm not sure what time of year it was, but I mean, I dare say we were probably in the home for about maybe, well, within a year.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure about that, to be honest,
okay.
The time scale.
Yeah, no, of course. What I'll do for you then is I'll just put 1965 for now.
Yeah.
As these dates don't have to be exact, but just a little bit of a ballpark.
Okay.
And what I want to do as well.
So I started school not long after going there. So, and I started at Easter time.
Ah, okay. Okay.
They did Easter intake.
Yeah. What was the name of your foster mother? Do you remember?
Her name was Janet Johnston.
Okay. And do you remember the name of your foster dad?
He was called Joseph.
What was his name, sorry?
Joseph.
Oh, Joseph, sorry. Joseph Johnston. Okay, and if it's okay with you, Jean, am I just able to grab some details that you can remember in regards to the abuse that you may have suffered during the time at Martha Frew, please?
Well, I was there with my siblings, my younger brother and sister. I was the oldest. I mean, they were in a different dorm to me because they were in cots. I was in the big girls' dormitory.
Yeah.
And I think they were quite strict with us. And I remember I used to try and barricade us in, you know, when we were playing. I would barricade the area and take my brother and sister in and not let anyone else in. And I kept getting telling off for doing that, you know. Also, there were girls with... burns, they've obviously been in a fire. They came and they were in the bed next to me, and I was quite scared of that. And well, I think they were really strict. If you didn't eat your breakfast, you got it for your lunch. If you didn't eat it at lunch, you got it for your tea, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we had cocoa time, and at cocoa time, you used to sit around, and some of the naughty children got taken away to get the slipper, what was called the slipper. Now, goodness knows what that meant. I never, ever got taken away for that, but, yeah.
And did you say the slipper or the slitter?
The slipper.
Slipper, okay.
Yeah, they got the slipper because they'd been naughty.
Yeah.
Mhm. So just all these kind of things wasn't nice, wasn't normal. And I remember I fell. They had a big chute in the park outside, and I fell off from the top, and had to go to the dentist and get something done. I don't know what, but yeah.
Okay.
There may be other things, but I can't think of anything at the moment. And I mean, I don't know if you would deem any of those things, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, no, like I completely understand your, you know, your situation. It is forms of, you know, emotional abuse. But to me, that, you know, the food situation, it does kind of fall under a bracket of neglect. Because as I've kind of written in, you know, your little bit of a brief statement here, is, you know, being given secondhand food back to you, because you haven't had it.
Yeah, I think that was the custom and the practice at the time, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just, that to me is obviously, that is forms of neglect, you know, because you're meant to be given, you know, fresh food with every meal. If you obviously, if you don't eat it, you don't eat it. It should never be, you know, be put in a fridge or re-microwaved to get back given to you just because you haven't ate it. It's not exactly ideal for, especially, you know, a young child at the time, you know, being yourself. In terms of clothing or showering or anything like that, or being bathed, anything like that, you know, can you recall anything being out of the ordinary when you look back?
Well, clothing, you didn't really have your own. There was a big cupboard and they would either just bring it to you, or sometimes you could get to go and say, oh, what can I wear that? Can I wear that? You know, that sort of thing. And yeah. But again, that was the custom and practice at the time. So
yeah.
And being a child, you don't know any different. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think a lot of my problems came from the treatment in care afterwards.
In the foster care?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which resulted in... Sorry, I was just putting that little bit of detail in about the clothes. I know it's not big, but it's just detail whether the scheme can look at it. Okay, moving on to your foster care then. You know, tell me about your time in foster care.
They were an older couple. So we called her Gran. We didn't call her Mum. We called her Gran.
Yeah.
And she was very dominating.
Okay.
And would kind of threaten you. We got hit with a wooden spoon. I got beaten one time so much that I couldn't sit down at school the next day.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. In this foster care, was this just yourself that was fostered, or was it, you know, your brothers?
No, my siblings with us. But
yeah.
I think initially they wanted a boy, so it was my brother. And then they told them that to get my brother, they decided that they would keep the two sisters and the brother together.
Yeah.
But over the years, she used that against us by saying, it was a boy I wanted. I didn't want girls anyway, you know.
Yeah, which of course is emotional abuse.
Yeah, she used to regularly say that. But there are lots of goings on. But now as adults, you know that it wasn't right the way she treated us. He was okay with me. I can't vouch for my brother and sister, but she was quite cruel.
Yeah, okay. I'm just mentioning about that, the comments that your foster mum then made to you. It means comments.
Throughout the years, I mean, we were there until I left home. I mean, it was a permanent foster arrangement, and we were there for years. But the social work ladies used to come and visit us, but we were warned not to say anything that we shouldn't say, if you know what I mean. We had to because if we'd said anything, we would have got into trouble afterwards.
Yeah, of course, I understand that. My first one was... And did your foster mum, did she like visibly state that obviously if you guys were to tell social services about like anything that would be happening, like that, would she make it clear that you would get the beating?
Yeah.
Or be punished in a way?
Yeah. So also we were told that if we came home from school one day and we saw their car sitting, that was to go and wash her face and brush her hair before we came into the room where they were. That sort of thing as well, you know.
Like make yourself look presentable, but not.
We never were left alone with them, which I think was wrong. We should have had time with the social workers on our own, but we were never alone with the social workers. She was always there.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they were too frightened to say anything.
Yeah, of course.
Because then we'd get into trouble. I mean, she used to pitch, as siblings, she used to pitch us against each other. You know, she used that to ridicule you and what have you.
Yeah, I get you. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention about this time in foster care?
I hadn't even thought before I made submitted that little application today. I mean, there's probably loads of different things, but overall, I would say, she physically beat us, she humiliated us, and she cut her hair short and wouldn't let us grow her hair long. And yeah, she used to cut it herself. She didn't take us to the hairdressers. It was a home cut, and it looked ridiculous. So we were, and that was a big thing for me. I used to cry for hours about it.
Yeah.
We never had a birthday party or a cake. We weren't allowed friends at home, like for sleepovers or anything like that. And we had lots of tasks in the house. Every day we had to play a big part in cleaning the house. Quite often she didn't really care for us. I mean, I don't think she really, really cared for us in the end, because she wasn't nice to us. She wasn't nice. Yeah. We had to wear clothes that were too big, and I had to wear boys' shoes to school, and just things that were bad for your confidence and self-esteem, you know?
Yeah, of course, 100%.
And she would always mention this thing. Well, it wasn't girls I wanted. It was my brother who wanted a boy. But see, she had two previous adopted children that she'd had from baby. But they'd moved on and got married. So then she fostered us three.
Yeah. Okay,
She wasn't a kind person, let's put it that way. She was very dominating. She could be really cruel and you'd get slapped. And she used a wooden spoon to hit you.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to hear that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not ideal for you at all, especially to, you know, potentially be going into a home where you want to be able to feel settled and have, you know, you're putting faith into these, you know, these parents' hands, which has just been completely took advantage of.
Yeah, so when not long into arriving there, she used to go to Kaylee's and concerts on a Saturday night. So she put us to bed on a Saturday to sleep so that we could stay up late to the Kaylee's and concerts. And if we didn't sleep and we were lying in bed having a carry on, she would come through and hit us with the wooden spoon. And tell us to get to sleep on Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
So it was like a forceful nap then, wasn't it? It was like a forced nap.
Yes. So that you could stay up late, because she wanted to go out and she took us with her.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Just going back to the overall kind of, you know, experience that you just briefly told me. You know, you said that you took physical beatings, you got your hair cut, and obviously you weren't allowed to have it long. Were neglected of birthday parties, never allowed friends over. I'm pretty sure I missed another thing that you said. Can you remember what that was at all? When you said you took physical beatings.
Well, she would humiliate and use humiliation, because she pitted us against each other, like, so that we side with her. Oh, look what she's done, and she did this and she did that, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And quite often, like, when we got older as well, it was very obvious the difference in presents that at Christmas time and things that she gave the adoptive children,
yeah,
they would get really good things, and we'd get cheap brush set from the market and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Dean. Well, I've took, you know, some good details for this brief statement here. This does get populated into your application form in order for it to be sent off and the scheme to recognise, you know, the abuse that you've suffered, in order to give us a application number on your behalf. Further down the line in the process with ourselves, we do give you a call for a more in-depth witness statement. One of my colleagues who do work in the same office as me, they're trained in specialising in witness statements. So they'll give you a call further along in the process. It's quite a few months away. We've got to obtain your records and stuff first. But they'll give you a call and they'll go through the witness statements with yourself and anything that obviously you do remember, or you know, anything like that. You know, you can add it into the witness statement.
Yeah, I'll sit and have a think. Now this is all happening that quickly, that's some of the main things that stand out, and the way we were treated, you know, it wasn't normal. So,
yeah, no, of course, I can completely understand that. So what I'll do for yourself, obviously, as I said, this gets populated into the application form that I'm going to send out to you. There's two types of payments that we can go for here. There's a fixed payment of £10,000, and this is just a fixed amount. Fixed amount of the award, regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. Or the scheme offer a individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed independent panel, depending on the level of abuse that you've suffered. So they'll look at the support and evidence that we provide, the witness statements, you know, any medical records and whatnot that we can link up with that as well. Yeah, for me, Jean, I want to put you forward for the individually assessed payment, just because, especially that foster care, you know, you've took physical beating, and it's beating, you know, with causing you discomfort to even go to school and try and hide that pain, from obviously that beating from your foster mum. Obviously alongside, you know, the mind games that, you know, she tried to do with you and your sister. The emotional abuse of trying to keep the wrongdoing wrapped under, you know, a blanket and not expose it. So
it's
for myself personally, from my experience, I feel like this is, you know, this is worth more than £10,000. So I'm going to put you forward for the individually assessed payment. Do you just need to ask two questions? I probably know the answer to this already, but do you have any criminal convictions at all, Jean?
No,
I thought not. You don't sound like a criminal.
No.
Okay, and have you received any relevant payments from the abuse that you've suffered during your time in care?
No.
No, okay. Okay, Jim, what I'm going to do for you now is I'm going to send you out an email. This is going to contain part one and part two of the application. The part one is just basically the generic details about yourself, what I got to start, like, you know, your address, your role and whatnot. The part two is the care settings and a little bit of a brief statement that I've done for yourself. You'll also receive a client care letter, which is just a bit of a hi and welcome, this is what we do for you. Also a conditional fee agreement, which just explains our percentage again, just breaks it down for you so you've got more of an understanding. And then also a letter of authority, which basically you just give us the right to act on your behalf and obtain all the records for you, so we can gather all that information on your behalf. All it is with that, Jean, is it's just an electronic sign document. So you'll receive a link, you just click the link and it'll bring up them documents I've just mentioned. And then there's a little box at the bottom, a little yellow box that tells you how many fields are required. You can just click on that box and it'll show you each box that needs signing. Once you've got them fields down to zero, the number down to zero for zero required fields left, you scroll right to the bottom of your page and there's a little tick box that says that the signature that you're providing is legally binding. You click that, you click submit application, and then that'll come back through to myself. And as soon as I receive that, I can send it off straight to the Scottish Redress Scheme to wait for about 2 or 3 weeks for an application number on your behalf, okay? And then, I'll just send you that separate email or the WhatsApp, whatever you prefer, with the request of the proof of identity and address. And then, you can just send them through to me. As soon as I've got them, I can upload them to your case file as well.
Right, okay.
Okay, Jean, is there any questions for me at all?
Yeah, what's your name? Aaron?
Aaron, yeah, Aaron.
Aaron, okay. All right, then. Okay, then. Right, thanks just now. We'll hear from you soon, okay?
Yeah, not a problem, Jean. Just keep a lookout for your emails. It'll be a little bit of email correspondence for the next couple of weeks, just in regards to we've sent you the application off, and then once we've received that application number, you'll get an email to say that we have.
Right. Hopefully everything works out email wise. I'm not great with technology, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Of course. You've got our number now, so save it. And if there's any anything that you'd rather speak about on the phone or anything like that, just give me a call and I'll be able to assist you, no problem.
Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you.
Not a problem, Jean. Thank you very much for your time today, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay, thanks. Right, a cup of tea now.
Oh yeah, perfect. Okay. You deserve it. Cheers, Jean. Bye now.
Okay, bye.